Today's daf is Mem Dalet. We're going to start right at the very top. There were all sorts of interesting sugyot for those who haven't had a chance to see yesterday's daf about women and their chiyuv, about the three brachot in the morning of Shalom Asani Goy, Shalom Asani, or if you notice, the nusach here says Shasani Yisrael and not Shalom Asani Goy. There's different nuschaot about it. The Shalom Asani Isha Bracha, the Shalom Asani Bor, there was some possible, you know, that people said other brachot. There were different things that people said. Anyway, all sorts of other interesting things in yesterday's daf. We're going to continue, though, from the top of today's. Tanu Rabbanan, Chilazon, Zehu Gufo Domele Yam, Ubriyoto Domele Dag, Ve'ole Achat L'Shevim Shana, Ubedamot Sov'in Tchele, Lafichach Damav Yekarim. Okay, again, a description. There was something also in yesterday's talk about this. There's a description of the chilazon. His goof is domele yam. Okay, exactly what it means, his goof. Some will say the way he looks, it looks like the water. Some people actually say, no, it's really a reference to the dam. It comes from the color of the dye, looks like the water. In yesterday's talk, it talked about what's the relevance of that, right? It looks like the water looks like the skies, and the skies look like... remind us of the Kiseh Kavod, and that makes you think of God. Here it's a little bit different. So Gufo Domele Yam, Briato, its shape, possibly. Domele Dag, it's also unclear what exactly means Briato. Ve'ole Chat L'Shevim Shana, okay, they're found only once every 70 years. What does Ola mean? Some people say they're found. Some people say it means they come up from the water only once every 70 years. Debate about all, you know, really how to understand each of the parts of this line, which also makes sense because they didn't necessarily know what it was. So they were trying to describe it, but they didn't know how to describe something that they don't actually, the later commentators didn't know what it was. So it was hard to describe exactly what they didn't know. and they use their dam to color the tchelet, to dye it. And therefore, since it's so rare, only comes up once every 70 years, therefore, it's like a bit of a play on words. Damot Sovin Tchelet is its blood, and Damav Yikarim means it's the money, right? The value, the money value.
But it's not his blood.
It's expensive.
Blood it means the inky secretion stored in the cavity.
Right. Okay. It's a secretion. They call it the blood. What is the blood? The blood is, you know, what's inside us. So, right. Exactly.
It also says it's not that you couldn't only get it every 70 years. It's just that that's when it was easier because that's when it came up.
Because that's when
every
it comes out of the land,
all the time,
right.
You could hunt it.
Exactly,
or,
right.
Or fish for it.
Right. It's not that they don't exist in between those 70 years. That's right. That's clear.
And the feelings on that they think it is today, it looks a lot like the rocks that it surrounds. So it's really
so it's very hard to see. It's camouflaged, yafeh. Okay, now I'm regretting that when I went a few years ago, I don't remember all the details of what I learned when I went to the Tzvela factory up north there. I could definitely go again. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Natan. Ein lecha kol mitzvah kala shektuva b'torah, she'ein matan schara ba'olam hazeh. Okay, so there isn't any... Okay, it's a double negative here. There's no mitzvah kala shektuva b'torah that said in the Torah that doesn't get sachar in olam hazeh. In other words, you're clearly going to get sachar in olam hazeh. Ula'olam haba eini yodea kama. Okay, and what kind of reward you're going to get in the world to come, I have no idea. In other words, because how could we possibly know, right? Because some people claim to know things, and Rabbi Natan is being honest and saying, I have no idea what kind of reward you're going to get in olam haba. But now, and he says here, tsei ulama, so he's basically saying, mitzvah kala shebetorah, you clearly get even a light mitzvah. Okay, we're going to say tzitzit is a light mitzvah. Why is it considered a light mitzvah? Probably because it's only a bitul aseh if you don't do it. Right? It's a mitzvah aseh to do, but it's not like there's some punishment if you don't do it. And he says, and in olam haba, I have no idea what kind of reward you're going to get. Presumably, he means you're going to get rewarded. He just doesn't know how much.
Because I don't know how great it will be, meaning I don't have a sense of the scale.
Right, the scale. Right. Obviously, he thinks you're going to get. So tsei ulamami mitzvah tzitzit. Okay, let's learn from the mitzvah tzitzit, and here we get to a very bizarrely interesting story. It's mentioned in the Gemara, a little graphic. Maaseh ba'adam echad shaya zahir b'mitzvah tzitzit. Okay, he was very careful about doing the mitzvah tzitzit. Shama sheyesh zona b'karchei hayam shenotelet 400 zehuvim. Okay, he heard there was some prostitute in the, what do you call it, karchei, on the...
cities or the sea?
The cities near the sea. Okay, they took 400 gold coins as her payment. So obviously a very expensive, exclusive zona. She a prostitute. I was thinking it's Bekarche HaYam. It's a reference to the Yam, which we said the Tchelet is a reference to the Yam, right? So there's a lot of references in this story. We'll see what all of them are. You can even, the 400 is a play on the four of the four corners of the Beged, right? There's a lot of play on words here. Although 400 is often mentioned as a big amount of money, okay? So it's often in these stories, that's 400. Shigirla arba meot zehuvim, okay? He paid up front. He sends the money to her before he even gets there. The kavalazman, and they set a time that he was supposed to come.
Very practical.
Yeah. Kishigiazmano, it's actually, there's a bunch of details here that you think really are not necessary in the story. You have to wonder why they said it. You know, if you think about it, a reference to kavalazman, you know, kovea itim latoha, there's, you know, there's all sorts of, about the zman of tzitzit, right? We talked about it's only in a day and not the night. That was on yesterday. That's the mitzvah shazman grama. What?
Or not.
Or not, right? Or maybe it isn't. But I'm saying according to those who say it is, right? So there's a kavah zman. Ukishi gezmano. So when the time came, bavi ashavala petach. Okay, he sat there on at the entrance. Why he sat there at the entrance and didn't try to go in, I don't know. And why we have the fact that nisa shifchata, so the shifcha, her maidservant, goes into the prostitute to tell her that he's arrived. I have no idea why they're telling us this detail. V'amrala, oto adam sheshigir lech, dalet me'ot zehuvim, bavi yoshev ala petach, bavi yashav ala petach, okay? She says, that same guy who sent you 400 zehuvim, which sounds like he was, right, that he was unique, that he sent so much money, but it sounded like that was her price. But he says, that man who sent you 400 zubim, you know, he's supposed to be here, right? He's scheduled to be here. He's sitting here on the petach. Amrahi yikanes. Okay, so she says, have him come in. Nichnas, so he goes in. Right? It's almost like they're prolonging his entrance. Maybe it was hard for him to go in. Maybe he was hesitant a little bit. He didn't even want to knock at the door. You know, it sounds like he didn't even have an interaction with the shifcha. It sounds like he was a little bit nervous about going in. Maybe I should, but anyway, she calls him in. He goes in. Hitzia lo sheva mitot. She offers him seven beds. And then she says, okay, here are my beds. There's seven beds. Shesh shel kesef ve'achat shel zahav. Okay, six were made out of silver. One was made out of zahav. Okay, they weren't seven beds lying in the room. There were seven, one on top of the other. Okay, it sounds like a little bit like the princess and the pea. Okay, or, you know, but in stories of the Gemara, we also have seven. We've had other cases where there were these seven beds. And here, if you remember, they talked about the seven. You need seven. There was a whole debate about how many times you need to twine it. And they said from, there wasn't a debate really, but they said from 7 to 13. And why 7 is the minimum and 13 is the maximum? 7 because of the seven rikim, you know, the seven firmaments, I think they call them, up in the heavens. And 6 because of the spaces in between the 13, because 7 plus 6 is the spaces in between each layer of a firmament. So here, what does it say? It's really a reference to this. 7 mitot shesha kesef v'chad shel zahav, ubein kol echad v'echad, in between each 7, right, which is the same as we had before, sulam shel kesef. Okay, there was a ladder made out of silver to get from one to the other. So you see this beautiful image, which is really referencing what? The kiseh kavod, right? In other words, if we say the tchelet is domel yam, and the yam is, right, like the rakia, and the rakia reminds us of the kiseh kavod, here you really have, right, one on top of the other, on top of the other, of the rakia. It's all a reference to God sitting up at the top. But instead of God sitting up at the top, obviously, who's sitting up at the top? Altavi yashva al gabel yona. So she goes up and sits at the very top. Kishihi aruma. She's totally naked, right? So the antithesis of God, this naked woman sitting up at the top of the beds there. Va'af hu alav leshev arom kinegda. And he goes up. Now, he's not yet naked. He goes up to sit naked opposite her. Bau arba tzitziotav v'tapchulo al panav. As he's climbing up, his tzitzit go flying, right? And they hit him in the face. Nishmat v'yashav lo agabe karka. He goes right away down to the bottom and he sits on the ground, right? It's the opposite reference of to being up at the top, and he sits on the ground. let's see her reaction. She goes right down to him at his level and sits right down next to him on the ground. Amralo, Gapashel Romi. Okay, there's a bunch of different explanations. I'm not going to get into them, but it means, like, I swear in the name of the Romans. She'eni menichatcha ad tomar li ma mumra itabi. Okay, she says, I'm not going to let you go until you tell me what was wrong. What happened? What went wrong? Amar la ha'avodah. He swears to her now. And his, right, it's interesting. Her curse is in the name of Romi. He uses this curse, ha'avodah, which almost could be a reference to avodat Hashem or something, right?
Divine service.
Right, okay, divine service. anyway, it's a way of swearing that we've seen in lots of other places. Shelo ra'iti shayafa kimotech. Okay, I swear I've never seen a beautiful woman as beautiful as you, and as you have no mum. Ela, you know, no blemish. Ela mitzvah achat tzivanu Hashem Elokeinu v'tzitzit shma. However, there's one mitzvah that God commanded us, and that is tzitzit. Uktiv ba, ani Hashem Elokeichem shtei pa'amim. It says in that section, ani Hashem Elokeichem, twice. Ani u'sha'ati lipara, v'ani u'sha'ati l'shalem sachar achshav. So he says, I am God who will punish, which is interesting, right? Because we said there's no punishment for not doing tzitzit, but the punishment here, right, has to do with I am atid li para if you sin, and I am atid, I am the God that will l'shalem sachar. Achshav nidmu alav, so these tzitzit that I'm talking about, this one mitzvah, nidmu alai ke'arba edim. They appear before me, the four corners of my baguette with the tzitziot hanging off, appear before me like four witnesses. That I was going to have four witnesses. It's almost like it was going to be double proof, right? If one group of witnesses gets knocked out, I'll still have two other witnesses if you forget about all the details of, well, maybe they're all one group, but in any case, you get the idea that there's four witnesses. Amra lo, eini manichatcha ad shetomar li now. Okay, so now we had all these references to tzitzit. Now I have another thought about the references in this section. We'll talk about it in a minute, and maybe we'll try to find the significance. She says back to him, "Eini manichacha ad shetomar li ma shimcha u'ma shem yircha u'ma shem rabcha u'ma shem midrashcha she'ata lameh bo Torah." Okay, so she says, I want you to tell me what's your name, what's the name of your city, what's the name of your rabbi, what's the name of your Beit Midrash that you learn in, that you learn your Torah. And I want to know all those things. Okay, I don't know if you catch any reference yet, but I'll tell you what I thought immediately, especially after these words, katav v'natam biyada. So he writes it down and he gives it to her. What does it sound like? Shame this, shame that, shame that. Katav v'natan, get. Right? Doesn't it sound like a get? Okay. You have to put shame, you know, shame ish, shame iro, shame the isha, the shame ira, and then katav v'natam biyada. So he gives it to her almost like a divorce document, right? He's disconnecting himself from her. Even he doesn't even speak to her at this point, right? He gives it to her, like, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And he separates himself from her. Amda v'chilka, so what's her reaction to this whole thing? She's so wowed by it. She's, Amda v'chilka kol nechaseha, shlish l'machut, shlish l'aniim, u'shnish natla b'yada, chutz me'otan matzaot. Okay, so she divides her property into three, a third to the kingdom, okay, to the
yeah,
to the so taxes, right? So here, Rashi says, she nicheha liitgayer, you know, that she pays, she bribes them, basically, the authorities, you know, the local authorities, so that when she wants to convert, they won't bother her.
This is, it says also they convert, and also so she can abandon them as clients.
Ah, okay, right, because you have, right, she was obviously, if her price was so high, there was obviously a high demand for her, so she had to kind of pay her way out. Shlish l'aniim, so she gave a third to poor people, and shlish she took for herself, okay? Chutz v'notam matzaot sounds like in addition to the fact that she kept her beds, okay? Ubat, I don't know why exactly they mentioned that, although they're going to appear later in the story. Ubat lebeit midrash shel Rabbi Chiya. So she comes to the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Chiya, which presumably is the Beit Midrash that this guy was from. Amra lo, Rebbe, tziva alai v'yasuni giyoret. Okay, tell me what I'm supposed to do and make me a giyoret. Amar la, biti shema enech natat v'echa min ha-talmidim. What, you want to marry one of the talmidim? And as he didn't want her to convert just because she wanted to get married to one of the Jews. Hotzia katav miyada v'natnalo. So what does she take out? She takes out, almost like her divorce document, right? She takes out the letter that he wrote, and you know, she says, this is, and she obviously explains the story. I assume that's what it means, because otherwise it doesn't make so much sense. But she explains to him what it was. Amar la, and she, what she basically is saying is, you know, she does want to marry him, okay? But she wants to, she's coming to it from a real, right, from a place of, which maybe is proof, you know, you want, so it's this issue about people who want to convert because they're marrying a Jew, and how legitimate is it, and how legitimate is their conversion? And she's saying, it's not just for marriage. So I really want to be with this person. Amar la, l'chi z'chi b'mikhech. Okay, go and, you know, you can marry him. Otan matzaot chi tzialo b'isur, hi tzialo b'heter. Okay, and then those, and that's why I mentioned before about the beds, that she kept the beds, because she wanted to use them for the right purpose. You know, she wanted to kind of, this is actually interesting for the time of tshuva, right? You can take what was used in sin, and you have to say, I have to get rid of it all, but you can use it for some sanctified purpose. So the beds that she used b'isur, she now was able to do it b'heter, and she marries him. Zomatan scharam b'olam hazeh. That whole story was to teach you what is the sachar of wearing tzitzit in olam hazeh, which is interesting because what it's really saying, it's saying two things, right? Sachar, he got sachar for the mitzvah of tzitzit, that he got to marry her, but he also, it was the tzitzit itself that provided him with the reward. And it was the tzitzit that prevented him from doing the act, which then convinced her to be part of the Jewish people, and
well,
then...
That's not- think of him too highly. He's the one that initiated the visit.
Right. No, he right. He's not a...
not a saint.
No, he's not a saint, but what does it show you? It shows you the power of... No, but it shows you the power of tshuva. In other words, the even though he was not good in the beginning of the story, but that even someone who starts off with bad intentions can turn around those intentions, and here he gets exactly what he wanted in the beginning, only now it was mutar to him. And this is, by the way, the opposite that they talk about. There's other sources that say people like what's be'isur rather than beheter, you know, and that you like. There's actually sources that say the itself of the opposite. Like if you have an option to do it beheter, you do it beheter rather than be'isur. But some people say it's always sweeter what's forbidden. You know, the forbidden fruit is sweeter. So this is showing, you know, he got what he wanted, and it was even better because he got it beheter. Okay, but then again, it says ulo olam haba eini yodea kama. Okay, that was his reward in this world. The point being, not like I have no idea, does he get a little, does he get a lot, but if this is a reward in this world, all the more so, what's going to be in the future? It actually doesn't talk about, did he get his money back, or did they have a shared bank account, or what happened with that 400 zehuvim that he paid her up front. Okay. So again, the reference of the story, in the beginning it's really all about tzitzit. I think those end references are like divorce, and almost, you know, in order, maybe it's also like in order to be together, they had to have a total cutoff in order to then be allowed to be together beheter. Anyway, things to think about. Amar Rav Yehuda, talit she'ula. Okay, now we're moving on to more mundane things. If you borrow a talit, okay, meaning a four-cornered beged, and it doesn't have tzitzit on it, kosh l'shim yom p'tura min tzitzit. Okay, if you're borrowing it, you don't need to put tzitzit on someone else's beged. Borrow a beged for 30 days. Mikamba elach, but if you're going to borrow it for the long term, chayev it. Okay, more than 30 days, you have to wear...
It's like mezuzah on a door.
Ah, so it's going to come up here. Tanya namihachi, likewise it says in the Braita, you're already in the mindset of the Gemara. Hadar bepundaki be'eretz Yisrael, v'asocher bayit b'chutz la'aretz. Okay, if you're living in an inn in Eretz Yisrael, like a, you know, you're just a guest. V'asocher bayit, if you rent a house in chutz la'aretz, if you're only living there for 30 days, it's pacha from mezuzah. Mikam va'ela chayav. After 30 days, you're already chayav. Aval ha-socher bayit be'eretz Yisrael, osem mezuzah la'altar. But if you rent a house in Eretz Yisrael, you have to put a mezuzah up immediately. You don't have 30 days. This is, by the way, one of these mistakes that people who come from chutz la'aretz make when they get here. They think, oh, when you move into a house, people always say, oh, you have 30 days. But in Eretz Yisrael, you have to put it up immediately, a mezuzah. And that's according to the Gemara, Mishum Yeshuv Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Because it, like Rashi says, after you put it up there, Shuv Eino Natla Misham. Okay? You know, if you leave, you're not allowed. There's another thing. If you put up mezuzahs here, okay, when I was younger and I kept jumping from rental apartment to rental apartment, you actually have an issue. You know, I remember I was young and single and I had to buy mezuzahs, and then you move, you have to buy mezuzahs. Like, you can't take off your mezuzahs. Okay? However, there are those who say that if you put it up, it's nigh, that you're going to take it down, then it's different. But if you put it, you know, that you can sort of put in a condition, I'm planning to take these down. But otherwise, you have to leave them up in Eretz Yisrael. You can't take them off.
Also, in Hutzlarts, if you put up a mezuzah and then you leave, but a Jew is moving in,
right? You also can't take it off, right? Right. So it's similar. Okay, tefillah shel yad, except it's not mishum yishuv Eretz Yisrael, right? Here, right? Okay, tefillah shel yad eina ma'akevet. Okay, now we're going back to remember the whole reason we got to all these things is because we were talking about things in the minachot ma'akev zo. Then we got off to all sorts of other things. So now we're up to the tefillin shel rosh and the tefillin shel yad. Right, tefillah shel yad eina ma'akevet. The tefillin shel rosh. Am Rav Chista lo shanu ela shiyesh lo, aval ein lo ma'akevet. He now says, wait, that's only if you don't have the other set. But if you have it, then you're not allowed to, then it is ma'akevet. Okay? I'm sorry, did I say it right? If you have the other set, then it's not ma'akevet. So if you only put on one, it's okay. But if you don't have, let's say you only have tefillin shel yad, you don't have tefillin shel rosh, you can put on, you can't put on your tefillin shel yad. Okay? You're not allowed if you don't have the other one. Amrulo, Amarta, they said, is that really what you said? Really? Like, that sounds ridiculous. If you have them and you're not putting the other one on, wouldn't you think all the more so? It would be ma'akev, because you have the opportunity to put it on, so you should. So Amar Lahu, he says to them, lo, you're right. He says, I changed my mind. Ela, man delately tre mitzvot, chad mitzvah nami lo le'avid. As someone who has, sorry, it's said like this in rhetorical. Elamanda lately tre mitzvah, chad mitzvah lola avid. In other words, if you can't do both because you don't have, let's say you only have tefillin shel yad, you don't have tefillin shel rosh. Remember we talked about that some people said they're two separate mitzvot. They're even listed in the Monah mitzvot, list them as two separate mitzvot. So we're going to say you can't do one mitzvah because you don't have the other mitzvah. That seems ridiculous. As if you only have one set, one tefillin and not the other, of course you can do one of them. So now they say, Meikara my suffer. What did he think at the beginning when he tried to say, if you only have tefillin shel yad, you can't put on even your tefillin shel yad? What was he thinking when he first said it? So they say, Gzera shama yifsha. He was concerned that you might say, well, look, I have a tefillin shel yad already. I don't need to bother buying a tefillin shel rosh. He might on purpose say, I'm not going to even bother spending the money to buy a tefillin shel rosh because I already have a tefillin shel yad. First of all, tefillin were and still are expensive. So it could be he was worried that people would say, I'll just fulfill one of it, it's fine. And that's why he said, if you don't have, well, then you can't fulfill the mitzvah because, okay, that was what he thought, but then he said, no, it's not, you know, his students questioned him. It's a good example of students question sometimes make the teacher kind of rethink what they're thinking. And he realized that they were right. Am Rav Sheshet, kol she'eino meniach tefillin, over b'shmoneh aseh. Okay, if you're not meniach tefillin, we've seen this before where they start telling you, usually it's you're over on all these lavim, and you know, remember we said you could get malkot six times for certain things or eight times. And so this also, Rashi gives us all the psukim. Okay, there's Dalid Parshiot, and here Rashi says, Dalid Parshiot yesh behen, v'akol chad akayim etre ase, ukshartam la'ot, v'hayu l'to tafot. Every time it says it, ukshartam la'ot, v'hayu l'to tafot. Okay, then he gives another option. I'm not going to go through all the details. You can look in Rashi. Okay, there's five ases. Rashi says the very last line in Rashi. No, not with tzitzit. Where's the vaya? Vaya da. Right, vaya lachem letzitzit. Okay, and then uritem otov, and you see it, right? And gedilim taseh lecha. That's the other pasuk. Okay, so that's the five asays. Some people have a different counting of the five. One of them is different, but anyway, we'll keep it at that. V'chol kohen sheino oleh leduchan over b'shlosha asay. Okay, because it says, Kotevrachu up in Israel, and more lahem, Visamu et Shemiel b'nei Israel v'ani avrachim. Okay, so there's three there. So if you're a Kohen and you don't go do Berkat Kohanim, you're over on three ases. Kol she'en lo mezuzah b'pitcho v'er b'shnei aseh, uchtavtam uchtavtam. That's in Shema and Vayam Shema. V'amar Yitz Lakish, kol ha'miniach tefillin, ma'arich yamin. Anyone who puts on tefillin has a longer life, Shnei Amar. Hashem alechem, okay, it's pasuk from Yeshayahu. Hashem alechem yichyu, ulechol bahen chaye ruchi v'tachlimeni v'hachayeni. Okay, God will be upon you and you will live. Okay, what's the reference there? To tefillin, because it's the name of God is basically on you. You wear it on you, right? It's very much like the tzitz that the Kohen Gadol wears. That right? It's the same idea. It seems similar. It seems like those two things very similar. Wearing the tefillin on your head and on your arm, really. But it seems a little like the Kohen Gadol and the tzitz. Anyway, what does it say here? God is upon you, and you will live, and God will, cure you and revive you. Okay, so it obviously provides you with long life, right? All those people who are looking for the secret to how to live longer, the Gemara is telling you this is the secret. Obviously, puts women who people say shouldn't wear tefillin in a disadvantage. It's a good question why women live longer than men. I don't. Maybe they have other things that
they didn't in those days.
That's true. Women didn't live longer in those days. Maybe it's one of the reasons why they said tefillin gives you a longer life, because they saw that women were dying because they died in childbirth and other things. Anyway, okay. These are just ways also the Gemara, they don't mean it literally, they just, right, scare tactics, exactly. Or fear tactics. Okay, new Mishnah, we are back to Menachot, okay? If you remember, we're in Masechet Menachot. We are now back to all those things. We're still up to what are things from Akev Zetzet. Hasolet v'hashemen eim ma'akvin et hayayin. So remember, you're supposed to bring with the korbanot nisachim and minachot, right? Minchatam v'niskehem, the mincha offering, which is flour, the fine flour, the solet, which is mixed with oil, and then the wine libations. So what? Okay, let's talk about it. The mincha gets burned, right, on the mizbeach, and the wine libations get poured into the mizbeach. They're both considered consumed by the mizbeach, one by burning, one by just pouring. Okay, burning is likened to achila, to eating, and the pouring is more likened to shtia, to drinking. That I'm setting that all up for something that's going to come up later in the daf. It's not yet relevant, but while we're on it, I'm explaining. So solet and shemen don't prevent the yayin, meaning if you don't do the mincha, you can still do the wine. Okay, the lo hayayin akvan, and the not having wine doesn't prevent you from being able to do the mincha offering. So we've seen this many times. The matanot that you do on the outer mizbeach, if you're supposed to do two that are four or one, right? There's all different options. However many you're supposed to do, if you do one, it's enough. If you remember, that's different. Those are the ones down on the outer mizbeach. The ones that have to go in the inner mizbeach, like the parim and nisrafim and the par kohen gadol, kabar kohen mashiach, the paralim davishol tzibor, the Avodat Yom Kippurim, all those, you have to do all the matanot. Okay, they are ma'akev, but the ones that are done outside aren't ma'akev. Tanu Rabbanan. So now we're going to have a bright on this. Uminchatam v'niskehem. So the pasuk says, Uminchatam v'niskehem, right? This is in Bamidbar when it talks about all the korbanot. It says, Uminchatam v'niskehem, laparim, la'ilim, la'kvasim, v'miskaram, kamishpat. So notice the order, mincha, and then nisachim. Havei mincha v'achar kach havei nisachim. What's the order of how you're supposed to do it? And that's, even though they're not ma'akev, still there's an order. Bring the mincha and then bring the nisachim. Rabbi Omer, zevach unisachim. There's a different pasuk that says zevach unisachim. So he says from that pasuk we learn havei zevach v'achar kach havei nisachim. Since mincha isn't mentioned there, and it says zevach and nisachim, it means, because remember, all these mincha, minachot, and nisachim would come alongside the korban. You would bring the korban, the animal. After that, you would bring the mincha nisachim. So, the first opinion says, minchatam uniskehem. So, the mincha comes first. This one says, zevach unisachim, meaning the nisachim have to go right after the zevach, meaning before the mincha. Okay? Or it doesn't... I shouldn't say right after. It just means after, meaning, right, that's the order. So therefore, you should bring the zevach v'achar kach havei nisachim. The Rebbe, so now they're going to say, how does each one deal with the other? Rebbe, nami haktivu minchatam v'niskehem. What does he do with minchatam v'niskehem? Hahu mibayle leminchatam v'niskehem balayla u'minchatam v'niskehem afilu lemachar. He now says that just like the way it works is you bring all the sacrifices during the day, but the menachot and the nesachim you could bring at night. Just like you could bring them at night, you could also bring them the next day. I don't know if you recall, but we talked about that you could bring them up to 10 days later. Okay, they don't have to be brought immediately. So we're now saying that just like you could bring them tomorrow, likewise you could bring them I'm sorry, just like you can bring them at night, you can also bring them the next day. The time, there's no time limit on it. Rabbanan, now the other opinion. When he says, Minchatam Niskehem is the order, Nami Haktiv, Zebachu Nisachim, what does he do with that pasuk? He uses it for something Ze'eri teaches. Damar Ze'eri. Ein Nisachim Mitkadshim, Ela B'shchitat HaZevach. It says Zevach U'Nisachim to teach you. The Nisachim aren't sanctified until you finish the Zevach. So let's say I set aside Nisachim. I say, I'm going to put wine. This is the wine I'm going to use for this Korban. But you haven't yet sacrificed the Nisachim, so it's not sanctified yet. I'm sorry, you haven't sacrificed the Korban. It's not sanctified yet. So if I then want to use it for someone, something else, I can do that. But once I sacrifice the Zevach, then the Nisachim become sanctified. So when it says Zevach U'Nisachim, it means the Nisachim become Nisachim designated for this Korban, assuming I had set them aside before, for this Zevach. Okay, so now we've come up with what each one does with the other Pasuk, but now we have an issue, because each one said we need that Pasuk, the other Pasuk, to teach us some other Halacha. So now the Gemara is going to say, V'Rebbe Nami Mibai Lelechid Ze'eri, V'Rabbanan Nami Mibai Lehul Minchatam Nuskem Balayla, Minchatam Nuskem Afilu Lemachar. They both agree with the other about the halacha that they derive from that pasuk. So how could they derive their halacha from the pasuk if they need to derive the other halacha from that pasuk? So therefore, they say, forget our answers we brought before. Minchatam Niskehem doesn't teach us about the order because we need it for teaching us that they could also be tomorrow. And Zevach U'Nisachim doesn't teach us that the Nisachim come before the Mincha, according to Rebbe, because that's needed for what Ze'eri taught about they're only going to become sanctified after you do the Zevach. So therefore, we're going to bring new answers. Ela hainu tamayu de rabana, dechtiv ola umincha. Okay, this is a pasuk in about the Chagim, in Vayikra Kaf Gimel, in Parshat Amor, Ela mo'ad Hashem asher tukru otam ekrai kodesh, lakriv ishel Hashem ola umincha Zevach u'nisachim devar yom biyomo. It's the same Zevach u'nisachim pasuk, but he's focusing now on the words ola umincha. Okay, it says there, Ola Mincha. So he says, Mincha comes first. That's Rabbanan. The Rebbe, Nami Haktiv Ola Mincha. So what does he do that? What does he do with that? So now, they're going to say, oh, you're right, we have an issue. So we're going to change the machloket a little bit. Ela Biba'im Imazevach. There, that pasuk was all about, you bring sacrifices with the Mincha. You bring sacrifices with the Nisachim. So they're going to say, nobody disagrees if you're bringing the Nisachim and the Mincha together with the Korban, okay, with the animal. Okay, everyone agrees that look at the order of the Pasuk. It says, Ola u'mincha, Zevach u'nisachim. Right? You have to wonder why they even thought in the first place that Zevach and Nisachim was telling you that the Nisachim come first when the Pasuk clearly says Mincha and then Nisachim. So therefore, Biba'im Zevach, everyone agrees to Mincha v'acharkach Nisachim, because that's the order of the Pasuk. Da'aktiv, Ola u'mincha. Ki pligi, okay, now there's a bit of a debate, what does it mean that they're ba'im with the Zevach? Okay, or what it means, here, we'll talk about it in a minute. I'll hold off 1 second. Ki pligi biba'im b'fnatzmam. The machloket is when they come on their own. What does it mean when they come on their own? So either we say, when they weren't yet set aside, you brought your Zevach, but you hadn't yet set aside your other things. Or maybe it means that we brought them on a different day. Okay? Because we said you could bring them up to 10 days later. So if you're bringing them on a different day, then you no longer have to do the order of that pasuk. It's only if they're coming with it. So if they're ba'im b'fnei atzmam, then they have a machloket. Rabbanan savre mi deba'im im ha-zevach, mincha v'achar kach nesachim, b'fnei atzmam nami, mincha v'achar kach nesachim. And as Rabbanan say very simply, there should be no difference whether you bring it with the animal or whether you don't bring it with the animal. If the order with the animal is mincha then nesachim, so if you do it tomorrow or 3 days or 5 days later, it's going to be the same order. The Rebbe has a different option. He says, here's where we get to the eating and drinking. Hatamhu, when you're doing it with the zevach, what do you do with the zevach? You burn it on the mizbeach. When you're burning it on the mizbeach, da'atcha ba'achila, and you're right. This is if you want to talk about seder in the Beit HaMikdash. So you're focusing on burning things. So continue with burning things, right? Gamala lekule milta da'achila. You finish up with all the burning, and then you get to the pouring of the wine, which is more like drinking. Aval bifnatz mam. But once they're no longer being brought, you're not in the middle of burning something. then we look at it from a different perspective. This is very good. It's all about your perspective. What your folk, when you're in the moment of burning things, so we continue with the burning, that makes the nisach, that makes the mincha more prominent, because you're in the middle of burning, you continue with the burning. Then you do the pouring. When you no longer have that perspective where you're in the middle of burning, then you go from a different perspective. Now we say, okay, well, I have two things in front of me. I have nisachim and I have a mincha. Which one is more significant? So now they say, nisachim adife. Nisachim have priority. Why? Ho'il mit amra shira alayu. When you bring the nisachim, they would say, the Leviim would sing. So since it has this singing that comes along with it, that seems to make it more important than the mincha. And therefore, the nisachim take precedence. Continuing, Hamatanot Sha'al Mizbacha Chitzon Emach Votzo. That was a quote from the Mishnah we just saw. Tanu Rabbanan. Now they're going to bring a bright about this. Minayin Lem. We've seen this a number of times already. Quoted. Minayin Lecholani Tanim Al Mizbacha Chitzon Shenetanam BeMatana Achad Shechiper. How do you know that if you did one of the matanot, even though you didn't do all of them, you still receive atonement? Shenemar B'dam Zvachecha Yishafech Al Mizbacha Shem Elokecha. The blood of your korbanot Yishafech is singular. Will be poured, it's in the singular, not yishafchu. You would say, right, dam zvachecha sounds to be plural, will be poured. But no, yishafech is singular, meaning that even if one is poured, you already receive atonement. Okay, new Mishnah. Haparim v'haylim v'akfasim. There's a debate whether hasirim are mentioned here. I'll explain in a minute why. Einan ma'akvin ze'etze. Okay, the bulls, the rams, the lambs, the sheep and the lambs, don't prevent each other. Okay, the assumption here, the Gemara is going to struggle with trying to understand exactly what we're talking about from the holidays. Which holidays? What are we talking about? Normally, you have to bring a number of each animal. So, because you have to bring a number of each animal, what they're saying is, if you didn't bring all of each animal, it doesn't prevent you from bringing. Let's say you only have one par, so you can bring one par. Okay, it doesn't prevent you from bringing that one par because you say, I don't have all the ones I'm supposed to bring. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im hayu lahem parim merubim, velo hayu lahem nisachim. Okay, he doesn't disagree with them, and she's adding another halacha. If you had a lot of parim, but you didn't have nisachim, that you had money to afford the parim, but then you'd have no money left to buy the wine for the libations, yavi par chad unisachim. Better to buy one par and spend your money on nisachim rather than to not have nisachim at all. Better have a little bit of everything, right? There's always a debate. What do you do if you have, you don't have enough? You could buy some of one and some of the other, or should you buy all of one and forget the other? Do one kemosh tzarich and forget. So he says, bring one par and bring nisachim. V'lo yakrivu kulam v'lo nisachim. We prefer that to not having nisachim at all. So the Gemara starts off and says, hane parim ukvasim dehecha. Which parim and kvasim are we referring to? Ilema dechag. If we're talking about the korbanot that you bring on chag. Kamishpat kimishpatam. It says, right, in Bamidbar, Kaftet, Pasuk Yuchet, right, when it's listing, this is all what we always read from Maftir of the holidays. Okay, Bamidbar, they're quoting the Pasuk, Kaftet Yuchet, right? Here we're talking specifically about Sukkot. And it says, Ubayom HaShemini, you remember in Sukkot we have the 70 Parei Achag. It starts off with 13 and then it goes to 12 and then 11, right? Every day it's a different korban. So Ubayom HaShemini, Parim B'nei Bakar, Shnei Masar, right? You bring Parim Shnei Masar, Elim Shnaim, two Elim, Kvasim B'nei Shana, right? You bring Kvasim B'nei Shana, Arba'a Asar, Tmimim, 14, Umin Chatam V'nizkehem, La Parim, La Elim, La Kvasim B'mizkeparam Kamishpat. What does B'mizkeparam Kamishpat mean? Has to be exactly like this. And what did the Mishnah say? They're not ma'akev ze'etze. So it can't be that you're talking about the parim of Sukkot. Okay? Chag is Sukkot. Ela, to Rosh Chodesh v'atzeret t'chumash ha'pikudim. Maybe they're talking about Rosh Chodesh and atzeret of chumash ha'pikudim. Now, what's chumash ha'pikudim? Sefer? Bamidbar. It's another way. Why? Because Parashat Bamidbar is all about the Pekudei, right? These Ele Pekudei B'nai Yisrael, the countings. So they call it Chumash HaPikudim. So now what's Atzeret Chumash HaPikudim? There's two sets of korbanot on Atzeret, which is Shavuot. There's one that's the regular, in Bamidbar, it describes the regular, there's a holiday offering you're supposed to bring. But we already know that there's another one that's mentioned in Vayikra, which is the Shtei Alechem. the Shteh Alechem, you have to bring two Eilim, seven Kvasim, that's all Korban Olah, and then you have to bring a Seir Lechatat, and Shnei Kvasim for the Shlamim. Remember, that's the two Kvasim, we learned a lot about them, that go with the Shteh Alechem. Remember, what if you have one and not the other, and what if you this and that. So now they say, let's say it's Rosh Chodesh and Atzeret to Chumash Pikudim. What's the problem? Eilim Dehecha. If you say it's the Atzeret of Chumash Pikudim and not the Atzeret of the Shteh Alechem, there's only one Ayil. So you can't say that Eilim E Magvin Zo Et Zo because there is only one. Idahanu Da'ayilhu. In other words, if it's those, it's only one Ayil. Eid atzeret tarat kohanim. So maybe it's talking about the Shteh Alechem where there were Shnei Eilim. Havayaktiv behu. It says there, I forget the pasuk, Yihiyu Ola. Okay, these are Yihiyu Ola, and Havaya we learned already means it's Ma'akev. You have to have it. So you can't say that's not Ma'akev. So they're struggling to figure out what is Ma'akev. So what are the answer? La'olam da atzeret tarat kohanim. It really is atzeret of kohanim. V'hachi kamar. Lo eilim de tarat kohanim ma'ak velela ayel de chumash ha'pikudim. Velo ayel de chumash ha'pikudim ma'ak evlu le eilim de tarat kohanim. They say it like this. Yes, you have to bring two eilim for the Shteh Alechem. And you have to bring one ayel for the other. And if you don't have the two eilim there, you can still bring the ayel there. And if you don't have the ayel there, you can still bring the two eilim right, of the other one. So now they say, Ela, Parim de afilu ahadah de lo ma'akve, ve'ilim de hacha u de hacha hu de lo ma'akve, inu ma'akve. It doesn't make any sense to say that when the Mishnah says, ha'parim v'ha'ilim v'akfasim, ena ma'akvin zeze, let's leave the seirim aside. The seirim is a machloket because it's usually seir achad, seirim achad l'chatat. So why is the seirim mentioned in plural? There is no seir that's ma'akev zeze. So most people don't have that nosach. But if you say parim, elim, and kfasim, so parim and kfasim mean within its own set of korbanot. You don't have to bring each one. And the elim means from set to set, right? That's a crazy structure to the Mishnah. How could you possibly say that's what it means? So the Gemara answers, and we'll end with this for today, Tana mile mile katane. In other words, we don't have a problem with that. When it's talking about parim and kfasim, it means within the set of korbanot, the parim, you don't need all of them, and the kfasim, you don't need all of them. If you have one, you have two, you know, you could do it without. When it talks about the elim are actually ma'akev zeetzeh, and what we mean is one set to the other set, okay? When you're on, and then it's only referring to the chag of atzeret, of Shavuot, and it means if you don't have the aisle for the the Shnei Eilim for the Atzeret, it doesn't prevent you from doing the one aisle of the Korban of the day, the Korban Musaf of the day. And if you don't have that, it doesn't prevent you from doing that one. Okay? It makes the Mishnah vary, right? They're clearly struggling. The Mishnah doesn't really seem to make so much sense to them. Chag Sameach, we'll pick up on
it's so nice
skip the Chag Daf.